So I grew up in the Diocese of Gaylord, Michigan, which is in northeast lower Michigan, and actually it's almost directly east of here. It sits on the 45th parallel, so we're pretty close to that. And when I was young, I guess grade school age, involved in Cub Scouts, and that turned into being involved in Boy Scouts. Mom was a den mother, Dad was an assistant scoutmaster. So every summer we looked forward to Boy Scout camp. And Scout camp was at a lake. They had this wonderful camp. You could go canoeing, swimming, all kinds of things, hiking, wilderness survival. And then you would go there for the whole week and you would sign up for these merit badge classes. And we had camp counselors that were like late high school, some of them early college age, that were our instructors in teaching us in these various merit badges that we would be taught in. So one of them I remember that I signed up for was called the Nature Merit Badge. We get there, there were about 10 of us scouts. I was probably about age 12 or so. And all of a sudden, the camp counselor, he was going to instruct us that day, was going to take us on a nature walk, and we were going to identify everything that we came into. But this was interesting. The guy had one of those white walking canes, and he was legally blind. So here we were, this rad-clad group of bratty little kids and Boy Scouts sitting there, giggling and making fun, wondering how a blind man is going to take us on a nature walk through the woods identifying things. Unbeknownst to us, what he did is he put blindfolds on all of us. And we had to hold a rope. I'll never forget this. It's like it happened yesterday. And then we walked through the woods on the trail, being led by, I remember his name, Scott, the blind man. And he would touch a leaf, and he could tell by the shape, he could feel the shape of the leaf, he could smell the leaf, touch the bark of the tree. He could pick up lichen, moss from the floor. He could hear a bird. He could hear it decipher between different types of squirrels and birds. It was just unbelievable. So after this long walk, we get back to the camp and we felt about that big. Because we had just judged a guy and realized how this blind man taught us something. Look at what happened in the gospel that the deacon just read. Yes, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, healed a blind man. Last weekend, what did we hear in the gospel? He healed the woman at the well. And as Jesus encountered this blind man and healed him, who were really the blind people? They were the Pharisees. Yes, they had their physical eyesight, but they couldn't see. They didn't want to see because their heart was blocked. Their mind was blocked. And as Jesus did with the woman at the well in the gospel last weekend, is he asked more questions. He drilled deeper into her life and stirred that thirst. Draw closer to me. I want more of this. I want this living water. And the guy today wanted to see, wanted to grow in faith, that I would, who is this person that I can come to know that you talk about? You were talking to him. He's the one that healed him. And then he goes and announces the good news. Every Sunday, we come here to this Mass. I'll put myself on the top of the list, a sinner. Blinded by sin and darkness. What do we hear in the first reading? That all those people come for, or all those sons come forward? The one that's out in the field? And what do we hear the prophet saying? God does not see as man sees. Maybe we see things differently because of our blindness, our weakness, our sinfulness. That's why we begin every Mass with a penitential rite, acknowledging our sinfulness. And then during the Lenten season, which we're in, My mantra is, get thee to a confessional. And that includes the priest, right, Father? And the deacons, right, deacons? Yes. So we go to confession too, regularly. Acknowledging our blindness, but acknowledging deeper, I want to see. I want to speak with your voice, see with your eyes, love with your heart. That's what we want to profess. That's our message. And so we come to this Mass being fed by the Word of God. And in that, as we heard in the second reading, it's announced that we're children of the light. We need to grow in our faith and be formed in our conscience so that we can walk in the light. So we are able to discern that is evil, this is good, this is right, this is wrong, and walk down the path. But because of our blindness, we do fall down. But what does the evil one do is that when we fall down, he tries to convince us, oh, you've fallen down before, you've done this before. And he always looks backwards and he points to where we failed, where we've been blind and walked down the wrong path. And he tries to convince us there's no hope. You can't get up. You can't move forward. You can't move toward the light. That's why he's the great accuser and the liar. And we hear over here the voice of the Good Shepherd. What did we just pray in the responsorial psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is my shepherd, I follow him and I follow him alone. I hear his voice. Even though I may not see, I hear his voice. And I follow him because he will lead me in the ways of beauty, goodness, and truth. And then, after the Liturgy of the Word, we come to the Liturgy of the Eucharist. You're going to hear this very soon, is that the gifts will come forward right through this community, and I, as the presiding priest or father on most Sundays, will receive them. You know what those gifts... And then the priest is going to say, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. And then you say, and may the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praising glory of his name for our good and good of all his holy church. What's going on there? Well, I'm standing here with the gifts, the bread, the wine, and can you hold that? All of that right here, that offering as Christ was offered on the sacrifice of Calvary is united to that sacrifice. All that stuff inside of you that you carry around, all of those things that you're happy about, that you've been blessed, thanksgivings, joys, but your worries, concerns, medical challenges, difficulties, worrying about jobs, house payments, car payments. Maybe there's traumas that happened in your life that you can't just hit the delete button and they don't go away. And maybe some of those things didn't happen by your choice. We carry all that stuff in us. And God is saying, he wants it right here. That's your sacrifice right now on this altar. And then by the command of Jesus Christ, the priest says the words of institution where the bread and the wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. That changes the stuff inside of us and it changes this bread and wine into his body and blood. It's transfigured. It really happens. That's why we're Catholic, because we believe that. And we come here to be fed. As the woman went to the well and said, I want that living water. That's why we come here, to be fed, to drink that living water. And then we come forward and we consume that gift of all gifts, Christ himself, because he knows we can't do it on our own. He knows that our eyes need to be opened. And then when I look at you who have received the same Jesus, something happens inside of me that I realize, as I did for 8 years up in northern Alaska, predominantly serving Yupik Eskimo people who look very different than me, but realizing they are my blood brother and sister because they've just received Jesus, which goes far deeper than any genetic connection. I have to honor you as my sister, as my brother in Jesus Christ. That makes us the mystical body of Christ, a family of God. That's powerful. It's real. It's transformative. And then we go out into the world. And as I told you, young people, just before Mass, I want you to remember three things when you go out into the world. You're a big deal because you're created in the image and likeness of God. Your life matters, and God has a mission and purpose for you. Preach it. The world doesn't preach it. There's no app that preaches that. You preach it. And when you find somebody that doesn't believe that, because that's imprinted in your DNA as a child of God, announce it and preach it. What good news, what beautiful news. Thank you for being here today, for voting with your feet, and believing as Jesus healed that blind man that he can heal us and that we can see his beauty, goodness, and truth and choose that in our lives.